Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figus Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here with a freshly loaded drink, ready to regale you in the latest and greatest geek news around the globe and whatever nonsense that has caught my eye during the week. We are sponsored by Suzy Q's, which is a talented and maker of fine art that you can wear. Suzy Q's is a jewelry maker that has been sponsoring us now for a while and has decided to do a special 20% off till the end of July. And it's on a special bracelet. It's the Dragon Scale bracelet. There are pictures on the page if you want to check it out. I know a lot of you are listening just through the iTunes app and the iHeartRadio, and we thank you for that. But if you want to go to SuzyQs.com, their actual page, it's up there. Or if you want to visit it through our page on Facebook, 5280 Geek, or the actual podcast page, there is a link to her page and pictures of the Dragon Scale bracelets. They are phenomenal. I mean, the intricacies and the work that Suzy puts into these things, I mean, it's art. That's all I can say. It is art. And it kind of feel, you know, like a badass, because it's chainmail. And it really, really, unique pieces. So, right now, the Dragon Scale bracelet, till the end of July, if you enter in Dragon at checkout, you will receive a 20% off on the Dragon Scale bracelet. We want to do this now because she's only going to do it for a limited time. She's got so much that she can produce. She'll even take requests if you send her a message directly as far as colors and all of that. So go look at it, adore it, wear it with pride. I need to get a bracelet myself just because it's so cool. Anyway, thank you, Suzy. Moving along, we've got, oh my God, things are just, it's weird. So with COVID and everything the way it's going, news is just strange. Things are in spurts. It's like all of a sudden there's nothing, crickets, and then there's like a bombardment of stuff. So it's really hit or miss on what I'm going to have for the week. But I have put together a wonderful bit of news and stuff for you. First off, ANC. We've talked about this a couple of times, and we go back and forth of the theaters and the COVID and all of that. Well, AMC has decided to push back its opening for another 2 weeks. This is in response to the release date of Tenet and Mulan releasing the delays in their release dates. So this is kind of a two-handed thing. And I mentioned this last week of theaters being open is great, but what are they going to show? So I think they're trying to sync up with the, you know, the producers and the distributors of films so that they actually have something to bring people out to want to do. I mean, Meat and Potatoes, I know the review there has been, you know, missing theaters. So Meat and Taters, if you haven't read any of our reviews for movies, that's where you need to go on the Facebook page and Twitter. We put it up there as well. So, with the delays, I think they're just trying to sync everything up. So, I wouldn't take this too bad. And there is some spikes in COVID cases across the country. So, I think they're trying to err on the side of caution versus just going in there and doing the nutty thing. You know what? I appreciate that. They want it to work right. We don't want to see, you know, you open and then go, oh yeah, that worked horribly, and then have to close back down. That's a horrible avenue for them. So them taking their time, figuring it out, work with the studios. And the two films, Tenet looks great. This film is just, oh, looks creepy as all hell. I'm excited to see it. And Mulan, well, There's so many reasons that now I kind of want to see this. Donnie Yen, of course, is in it. I do believe Jet Li is in it. So there are a lot of actors that I admire, that I do follow. And the story that Mulan is starting to kind of like weave looks to be a little closer to history. So I'm really on board. And I know at first I was kind of hesitant because it's Disney and we don't know how the live action is going to go. Because let's face it, Aladdin could have been better. Lion King, I don't get that. Beauty and the Beast, by far so far, I think has been the better of the live remakes. And because the others are just... Aladdin was just painful. So painful. No heart. No, see? Want to see a movie with no heart? Soul? Pulse? Go watch Aladdin, the live action. There you go. But there is one. There's a TV show. Speaking of heart and soul, is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I did this a couple weeks on my Shakedown. As Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wraps up its tenure on TV, and we're into the final season, they've kind of gone back to the basics and what I really enjoyed about the show, and I really think that it's going out on top. It really is taking the past few years of the films, of their own series, even some liberties in the comic book realm, and it really feels like a spy series, and what it really should have been to begin with, because we decided to start watching like the first season, and I did a review of the first season ages ago, and I compared it, and I told you guys, I compared it with The Blacklist. But as I'm rewatching the first season, I'm seeing kind of like, wow, this was really good, and it had the great spy element. I really wish, as I'm watching it, they would have done more of a pull from like the Steranko era of Nick Fury Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comic, to have more spy elements. Hell, I would have even been happy if like a few like hokey James Bond opening style shots. So I'm really enjoying this now that they've gone, they're jumping through time, of course, and I know a lot of people, as soon as they involve time travel, everybody jumps out. But how this is working and the eras that they keep bouncing through have been really fun and enlightening, and the characters have a certain, you know, surprise. There's each one kind of has like their own little story going on, which is kind of cool. You're also, you know, the bigger picture, and then, you know, the long game for the series. So as the story has gone on, it has really improved. And let's face it, I know a lot of people got out of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when they brought in the Inhumans, and that storyline just fizzled horribly, and it just kind of started the downward spiral for them. If you get in now, I don't think you're going to really miss a whole lot from those other seasons. And I think if you start now, you probably actually really will enjoy the series. Give it a try. I'm enjoying it, and I didn't think I would. I honestly was like, eh. But with the limited options on TV these days, it's fun. It's a good way to spend a Wednesday night. Yes, that's right. It's Wednesday night. Haha, I got my nights right. Ta-da. Anyway, also in news, there was this horrible hoax. Oh my God, I felt so bad because I have a friend that is one of the upper people at the Spirit of Halloween, and they did confirm it with me that the hoax that Spirit of Halloween was going to be closed this season was just that. It was a hoax. Spirit of Halloween is going to open. So if you're freaking out about where you're going to get your Halloween costume, not everybody has a, a Ghostbuster suit or a Star-Lord suit just at their beck and call hanging in their closet like some people. The Spirit of Halloween will be open. They haven't said anything as far as how they're going to run it, what they're going to do. I know that they're probably... How do you try on costumes, touching, and product? And let's face it, when you go into a Spirit of Halloween, it is all about picking up the props. It's all about playing with the toys. And I wish them the best of luck on this. Glad I don't work in there. Glad I may go in there. It depends. Last year, they had some great Ghostbuster gear that they issued. The jacket, of course, which was really fun because it's got removable names that you can put on there of all the four Busters. The PKE meter. I mean, they actually, Spirit of Halloween did do Ghostbusters justice this last year, so we'll see what they come up with this year and what kind of nonsense that's going to be. But I always end up in there just because there's always something I'm going to need for the season for Ghostbuster stuff. So I'm curious to see what that all breaks down to. So yeah, way to go. In movie news, moving along. In movie news, there's I don't know. I kind of on mixed feelings on this one, just because I think it ran its course and it was fun while it lasted, but it started to borderline on the ridiculous. And let's face it, most horror films do. And I'm speaking in regards to Scream. They are talking that Spyglass Media will be releasing through Paramount a new film. And I'm really, I don't know. I mean, I know that this does have a niche, and I do like the premise and everything that they did for horror at the time. Ghostface was an amazing character to bring in and to continue running with just the rules of horror films and all of that. The latest installment is rumored to have David Arquette to come back, and that's fine. I know Courtney Cox has been rumored as well to come back in, and as well as Neve Campbell. So they're really trying to get everybody back in. But I don't know. I think this is kind of ran its course. And it's not a series that you can reboot. I mean, when Wes Craven put this all together, it was more of a sarcastic take on horror films, yet still kind of trying to explore a new way of doing horror. So, I think this is really just a time piece. It did its service. It did its purpose. And it's fine. I mean, I guess, well, I don't know. Like I said, I think this has exceeded its expiration date. There you go. Scream has exceeded its expiration date. It's got its cheese. It's worthy of the trash compactor. Just let it go off into the sunset. I know that they've made over $600 million at the box office. I know it does have a certain air to it. And maybe if you do this story, you don't bring anybody back. You continue it. You bring in, and maybe this would be a better take on it. And if Wes, you're listening, which I know you are because you're a huge fan, if you brought millennials, because millennials approach horror in an entirely different aspect than, you know, the rest of us, just because their social skills aren't the best. And I think this would be kind of a fun way to exploit that aspect of the genre. And I think in the vein of what we've seen Scream do and the rules of the horror film and everybody dying or how they die in the order and the fun that Wes had with this, I think that could still happen with millennials in regards to, you know, social distancing, texting, gameplay, all of that. And I think that would actually be kind of fun. But what do I know? I don't write horror. I just live it. But we'll see. I'm curious. As this breaks down, as this hits everything, we'll see. I know that they're still in the preliminary talks. Everything is in the works. So as more of this comes out, we'll let you know. It's just happy to see more horror kind of coming, even if it is past its expiration date. Its shelf life is gone. In reboot news, and this one I'm excited, And I think that there's a page being taken from Sony in regards to what, why they're doing this. Nickelodeon is rebooting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with a new CG movie. And I think they're doing this in regards to just this success that came from Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse. And the success and absolute domination that Sony saw through this animated film. I know through the years, we have seen multiple, four maybe, iterations of the comic book or the cartoon series. Some more successful than others. So to see that they're trying to take it a next step, and I do like the design of these turtles that Nickelodeon has currently. There have been some that I'm like, too boxy, just I don't know, very abstract. But Nickelodeon is teaming up with Seth Rogen's Point Grey Pictures and are going to reboot the Turtles through this film. So I'm sure after this film premieres and all of that, that we're going to see a new series that springboards off of it. Could be off a bit. I don't know. There isn't a script. There really isn't anything that to go off of other than just the breaking news that they are going to do it. And with Seth Rogen joining it. I know with Viacom now owning Turtles and all of that, they just kind of keep refreshing them every, you know, so many years. Because as times progress, so must they. But I think at the heart of what the Turtles' story is, that there's characters, these are worthy characters to continue going forward, to continue to evolve, and I still kind of, you know, enjoy hearing about them. In fact, I am looking extremely forward to the new comic book series, The Last Ronin, that will be coming out that does tell the last story, the final story and fate of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I think I've mentioned that before, maybe once or twice. But to get a new film and kind of revisit the past with the new look might be fun. Might be worth the visit. And of course, if you're of the age now that you grew up on it but have kids, it's a perfect opportunity to share that with them, to move forward and kind of experience something kind of fun. I know Netflix is running a lot of the other different Turtle series on there, from, you know, the 2D regular cartoon version to whatever the other less than popular ones were. But I do think that this is a good idea. I really do. And I want to see this succeed. I want to see the Turtles succeed. Who doesn't? They were fun, and they still are. They really, really still are. Also, in streaming news, The Boys Season 2, we finally get a release date. Oh, September 4th, 2020. That's right. Still got a buttload of time to wait. I don't know how. Oh, my God. Seriously, can't we just have it now? I don't want to wait. I'm tired of waiting. This series, for me, last year was the pinnacle. And it took me a while to get to this decision, because there were just so many good series that all landed so close to each other. Because between The Boys, An Umbrella Academy, which, you know, the characters and the intermingling and the just, oh, so good. But I do have to say, just because of the grittiness and my Garth Ennis's adaptation from comic book to screen was so well done, that I really say last year's biggest hit for me in the comic book streaming storyline has to be The Boys. And rightfully so. It was gritty, it was brutal, and Carl Urban was just such a badass. That in Hugh, I mean, every character in there was so close and so just honored the comic book characters. So with Netflix now, or excuse me, Amazon now getting, you know, the traction and everything out there, we're seeing more stills, we're seeing some of the trailers and the extended version. And if I think who we're getting for a villain this year. If you thought Homelander was a bastard, wait till you see who they've got coming to. And he's a pain in Homelander's ass. And that's saying something. So as this, and I don't want to put any spoilers out there because I might be wrong. There could depart because they were, and I think what they did for this, because they did depart from the comic books. This isn't as straight from the comic books as everyone thinks. There are certain liberties, and I can see why, just to move the story along. Because it really works well, and it really, I think, helps define the characters. It gets you your buy-in for who they are, and it defines them as a character without having to go too deeply the deep dive for their backstories. So I think how they're telling the story is spectacular. And I could be wrong. Amazon may wait to bring this character in, or they may adjust it. So I don't want to spoil it just because I might be wrong. But having read the comic and having been a huge fan of the series, this is spectacular. I can't emphasize enough how just artful and how spectacular they weaved this story, and how it ended was an absolute rub. Just a big F you to Butcher and the team. And Homelander's a bastard. Such a bastard. And he's a great bastard. That's the thing. The guy they got playing Homelander, I'm really digging this guy. I mean, you love to hate him. There are characters that I'll watch on shows that I absolutely despise, and they play them so well that you're just like, God, I really hate this character. But that's the point. They want to have an emotional buy-in so that you're all like, eh. So when you get that, and there's a side of you that you want to like Homelander because the chin, the features, the superhero pose at the end of the day, the ha-ha, I'm Homelander and I'm here to save you. Oh, never mind. There goes the plane. Listening to a lot of the staff and, of course, the writers for the show, they are, of course, guaranteeing a bigger, bolder season two, steps into areas that none of them actually have ever done in their career and probably wouldn't do. And there's things that they're like, when you see it, you're going to know and you're going to go, ooh. So to hear that they're going to take it up a notch, I don't even know what that looks like because it was already intense. And just to see them up the game, and I hope this doesn't fall victim to what I mentioned earlier with like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where every year they're just up in the ante, they're up in the villain, they're just cranking it up constantly and avoiding or neglecting the characters, the development, and all of that. I mean, they've already developed the characters incredibly well and very intensely with moments that, character-defining moments, the dare-to-be-great moments, and I really think you feel and understand these characters. And I think you feel and understand them a little bit better than what you do with, like, Umbrella Academy. As much as I love that show and enamored with what they accomplished on that side, which, trust me, it's a neck-and-neck race between the two shows. And I couldn't be happier with that problem, to be honest with you, because it was so refreshing to just get something new. And it's not brighted up. It's not stupid. And it really does paint a very horrific yet impactful picture of the characters and the implications of society. And I really, yeah, I can't hype up the boys enough. So how much more excitement and carnage are we going to see? That is an excellent question. And I guess we have to wait until season two, which seems like it's going to be forever, September. That means we have to go all the way through August. Yeah, because that's how months work. But it just seems so far away. So far away from me. But there are other shows that kind of shoehorn in there. Speaking of which, Umbrella Academy is still slated for July 31st. So that is fine. I can't I went through the series again just to kind of build up the freshness, the anticipation, and I'm still like, damn, I still got a whole other month left. But we're already, you know, hot on the heels of July, so June is about in the books, which I am kind of happy about. I'm not going to lie with you on that one. So, it's a thing. Also in streaming news, and I haven't really investigated this too much, just because I haven't had time, and I don't want to, to be honest with you, I don't want to know the answer, but I'm probably going to get to that point that I have to. HBO Max is now streaming Scoob, which, if your memory is as good as mine, is a recent release to another film, direct market release to streaming services, and I think just this last week they finally released the hard copy that you could go and purchase at Walmart, Target, wherever you buy your DVDs and Blu-rays and all of that. So it's been streaming for a while, and now Max, the HBO streaming service, has it available exclusively now, streaming for them. Now, the platform, I don't know. So I know it's available to rent, and it's also available to purchase, but I'm curious on the different platforms. But with HBO, I already have HBO, and I haven't investigated it too much because I don't want to know the answer. Because if I have to pay for another damn service, I'm going to be angry. But since I already have HBO, and I've tried to find Doom Patrol, because it's there, but you only can buy it if I go to HBO Access. Or not HBO Access, but the On Demand for my Comcast. So it's there. I can see it. They don't have anything else for, like, under free content or anything like that. And I don't know if I have to go specifically over to the streaming service, which is going to annoy me, because I don't want to sit and watch it on my computer. I want to watch it on the big screen. You know, I want to enjoy Doom Patrol. But the same thing can be said about the Scoob film. This, actually, from what I've seen from the toy line, is kind of fun. I've seen that from just looking at the toy line. They've got, like, Blue Falcon, Dino Mutt, which is a long staple for the fans. I saw one package had Captain Caveman, and I almost bought that just so I could have a Captain Caveman figure. But the villain is Dick Dastardly. So does that mean we get Smedley too? I mean, that would be perfect. And maybe we'll see a Fender Bender 3000, which used to be a huge Saturday morning favorite for me. With this going to the HBO Max for the, you know, exclusive streaming rights, I'm curious. I don't know if this is the beginning of the end. I don't know if I want to just wait till it just is free on HBO, because I know I really don't want to pay to watch Scoob, since I'm already paying for regular HBO. And I'm sure that I will get to the point that I don't want to wait. I'll have to find out. It'll just annoy me one night, and that'll be the end of it. And then I'll either be extremely happy or very cranky. Scoob, on the other hand, it is looks like fun. It really does. Just from the standpoint of we get to see the past of how everybody gets together, the beginnings of their business, the Mystery Inc., and they team up with the Blue Falcon. I mean, come on, that just screams afternoon cartoons to me. And I'm the kid inside of me really is very curious by the adult is holding him back going, no, you know better. It's just a cash grab. So I'll find out. I'll get you the lowdown on it because I really want to know. Also in streaming news, and we just posted this up. If you haven't visited the site on Facebook, please do. Give us a like, give us a share. By all means, we can use the love. But Cursed, which is a very interesting story by the legend Frank Miller. Yes, Legend of the Dark Knight, Frank Miller, comic book writing legend Frank Miller, really weird reclusive Frank Miller, and the story, the adjectives can go on and on for the introduction to Frank Miller. But his series Cursed, which is a very unique take on the Arthurian legend. And I really wish Red was here so I could have her go over this, because I know how much she, and I know her theories on Arthur and all of that, but this is a little different. So it's told from the perspective of the lady from the lake, Lady in the Lake, the keeper of King Arthur's sword. So the series is based from her perspective, and the world is a little different, and it involves, if you're a magic user, you're basically being hunted down and killed or persecuted, and Nemu, who's the Lady of the Lake, is trying to basically deliver the sword to Merlin. And is trying to warn of the costs of magic. And it is a really interesting comic book series. And the trailer is up on our page. And it looks in depth. It looks detailed. And I'm really getting like kind of a Witcher vibe off of it. And it's at least a different take. It's not, you know, the bad King Arthur movie or, you know, what other monstrosities through the years when Richard Gere was King Arthur. But anyway, I digress. The fact is, though, the series, and it's Netflix, so at least there's kind of a build-up. There's a plot in to see how it evolves. King Arthur basically is a mercenary in this universe. So Frank Miller definitely taking certain liberties, and what he did with 300 and the Battle of Thermopylae to escalate that story so eloquently, and such a work, masterful work of literature. Because that is probably one of my favorite series for Miller. By far has to be 300, the comic book series, and then of course the film, because that just so well done, and just the narration, the visualization, even the comic is just very unique. And if you can find the issues, I would recommend picking them up. Of course, I know you can get the hardcover or the trade for 300, and if you've never read it, it is very, very worthy of a solid read. So give it a look. And let me know what your thoughts are. In the meanwhile, flip over to the page, look at the trailer. And the funny thing about this is, now Frank Miller usually does not want to have anything to do with any of his projects. He is very much like Alan Moore in that sort of sense. But this time, actually, Frank Miller is an executive producer and co-creator for this. So he's going to be a little bit more involved, and I don't know how that's going to affect the story. Is it going to, how big of an impact will Frank Miller have in this, in the production? Because if he's an executive producer, he's in the shit. He's going to finally just say, no, this is how I want it. And maybe with Netflix as the vehicle and them willing to give him, you know, free rein, this really could turn out to be quite the spectacle. I mean, this may end up being, you know, a very good substitute for The Witcher until we get it back. But I am, you know what, to see like these rustic kind of medieval stories, and then I know Conan is celebrating a birthday and would love to see Conan come back, but to see these stories kind of come back through the pipeline and recircle around, I'm enjoying this. This is fun for me, and I'm really eagerly awaiting this. This does hit Netflix July 17th, so we'll see Frank Miller's debut as an executive producer and how much of an impact. How much? You'd let me know. Because if you think he's gonna do great at this, then great. Or if he's just not gonna deliver, that could be a problem. So we'll see. But yeah, this will be fun. Way fun. Also, the one that helped him with the series is Tom Wheeler. So another series that you may want to look up just after, or maybe even during. Maybe this will impact you enough to go, okay, I want a little bit more of a foothold, a little more peek into the world of Cursed. And of course, with that, that means it is time, dun dun dun, for Smurf Shakedown. This week's Shakedown is, it wasn't a rush decision, but given what I've been reading and what I'm seeing in the world of comics, it's kind of hard not to discuss this, especially with the release of Batman 93 this last week and everything that is going on and what is poised to happen in the Batman universe, let alone the DC universe. I have to do a Shakedown on this because this week's Shakedown, Batman Joker Wars. We are poised for probably one of the more epic fights. And we talked about this last year when the news leaked that the Joker War was coming, and it's not only going to be just one Joker, but three Jokers. And the premise alone, with the addition of like the multiverse and how Batman has constantly had to handle a Joker, but it always seems like it's a different Joker. And of course, you know, keeping up with the times, adjusting the character, blah, 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 blah. But they're going to take it one step further by, yeah, you're right. There are a few different Jokers. Now, with issue 93, and I apologize if there's any spoilers for this, and if you haven't read, or maybe this will get you excited and you want to read, but as everything starts to build up, you're going to want to be at the ground floor on Joker War. Now, a couple of issues have already come out, and we've seen the creation of a new character called Punchline, and this week we just see absolutely how much of a badass she is as a replacement for Harley. And I know a lot of fans are like, no, you can't replace Harley. Well, not only did they, but damn did they. Punchline just served up a can of whoop-ass on both Harley and Catwoman. So the gloves have come off. Now, in the recent issues, the recent year, we have seen a lot of shakeup with Batman, the Rogues Gallery. We've seen an addition now to a new character, a couple of characters. Of course, the introduction of Punchline and the designer, who kind of is very reminiscent of Hush with the big D on his face. I mean, it kind of hails back to a couple of different horror kind of premises, and you just don't really know what to make out of the designer. And it's all in good fun. And he's, of course, you know, this master schemer and plotter, so very Bane-ish. Again, face covered, can't see what's on there, and he has a big D on his face. Kind of silly. But at the same point, it's kind of creepy. Like, okay, who is under the hood? With the last few stories, we saw the end of an era, of course, Alfred getting taken out, which no one ever thought that would happen, because what's Batman without his Alfred? Who's going to stitch him back up? Who's going to help him continue his crusade? But the story continues to get ramped up, and now that we're seeing more and more of this, I think what we're in store for is probably going to be one of the more epic stories, and I didn't even think that possible after City of Bane last year. With that story and how well that got laid out, and I'm speechless to even think of how much more. Because let's face it, if there is one villain in the DC universe that is the most psychotic and absolutely unhinged, it has to be Joker. And he's probably one of the most singly, easily identifiable villains from the DC universe or in comic book history. You see the Joker, everybody kind of really knows who he is and knows that you don't really know anything about him other than he just likes to kill people. And he's absolutely insane. I almost think he's more popular than Batman in most regards. So with the latest plan that Joker is hatching, I mean, he's got his sights set on Grayson. Don't get me started on that one, but he is coming for Bruce. He's also pretty much all going to dominate the Batman title for, I don't know, for at least the next few months. So this could be, actually there is no could be, this is going to be monumentous. This is going to be absolutely crazy. And if you're not in, you need to. Prices are already starting to skyrocket for first appearances. I think the cheapest that I have seen for Punchline's first appearance is $50. And that's just a few months old. It seems like every issue of Batman, there's something new, there's some new milestone, there's new characters, a lot going on in the title. And if you're a huge Batman fan, if you're even more of a Joker fan, this is something you don't want to miss out on. So I'm... The speculator in me is telling you, load up while you can, because I know later down the line, these issues will probably be difficult to find because everybody's rat-holed them into something, you know, hidden somewhere else. But I'm... And even the Batman storyline itself, as far as what they've gone on to do, has been very reminiscent of, like, old-school Batman. It has a detective element again to it, and I love when they do that, because Batman is trying to figure it out. He's trying to actually be a detective. He's not going in there, you know, fist swinging, using the gadgets, using the toys. He's really trying to be a detective, the world's greatest detective, and that's what I love the most about Batman stories, especially like the old school detective. So to see them integrate this back into the title is refreshing and very comfortable all at the same time. We're also seeing villains come back that we haven't seen for a while. So with everything going on from City of Bane, and now the villains are kind of recycling back through, there's it's fun. It's fun again in Batman. And I never thought I would say that, because for a while, it was a little painful. It was a little heartachy. But overall, yeah, we'll see how things go. We'll see how things evolve, and if this really works, I think this is going to be fun. And I don't want to give any spoilers away, and that's why I'm kind of struggling with how I want to do this shakedown, because of just the absolute pleasure that I have from reading this series right now. Because it has actually been fun as a fan, fun as a comic enthusiast, fun overall. So if there's one title that you're going to collect for the summer events, this is it. Batman is it, without a single doubt. And that is my shakedown for this week. Dun dun dun. Thank you. Bow 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 bow. Uh-huh. What else is going on? There's been some shakeups. There's some weird stuff going on. First of all, one was the San Diego, and I want to keep you guys up to date with San Diego Comic-Con as it approaches in July. I totally flubbed my dates last week, thinking, oh yeah, it's this weekend. No, it's in July, not to worry. It wasn't June 31st, it was July 31st. But they are talking about, so San Diego Comic-Con going virtual, and everybody is on pins and needles trying to watch it. Where are they going to watch it? How am I going to do it? Is it going to be streaming online? And there is the live action live streaming that you can do on their page. They've got links. But also, if you want, AMC Networks is in the works and planning to share the special events meeting room with a number of different panels, starting off, of course, with The Walking Dead. Now, they're saying that the partnering and the pop culture and all that is going to start and run from July 23rd through July 26th. So I'm sure AMC is modifying like mad right now to figure out how they want to set up the scheduling, what's going to air when, how often do we repeat it, is it going to be available on demand? And I'm sure all of these questions are going to indicate yes. However, wanting to watch it as it airs might be a bit dodgy. So as I'm sure July gets closer and they set up the schedule, we'll see more times and you know how they're going to break this up. But just to see kind of Walking Dead in there will be kind of fun. There's also going to be other panels that they've said that AMC is going to carry, like The Simpsons and Solar Opposites. So, and this new live action AI drama called Next. So they've already got a couple of shows for panels that they're going to be doing in there, and AMC being involved will be, at least there's going to be a way to watch it on TV. Again, streaming is fine, but sometimes I do enjoy my big screen. I don't always want to be stuck in front of the computer. I'm stuck in front of the computer all goddamn day. Just once. I'd like to just sit in front of my TV, bask in its glory and sound system. Yeah, it's easier that way. My butt doesn't get numb from sitting in my office chair all damn day. So we'll keep you up to date as far as what's going on with San Diego Comic-Con as more news, because it seems like every week there's something new. And you know what? It's kind of fun. I really am enjoying that San Diego is embracing the virtual con, and they're trying to go about as business as usual, in addition to kind of making it a little bit different. Everybody's invited. You can print off a pass. So it is some very unique takes on what they're doing and how they're executing this. So my hat's off to you, San Diego Comic-Con. I was going to be there this year, had to be there for the anniversary, but all right, that's fine. This is just as good. In other news, and this one I have a personal interest in, because it's something that intrigues me, and I don't know if I believe necessarily, but over the years, as a collector, there are holy grails. There are things that people have sought the ends of the earth for. Then there are certain items even myself are missing from my collection that one day I hope to come across, like a Secret Wars Constrictor on the card. It's something that exists. I have not seen it, but I know it is out there. I know of its existence, and it is something that doesn't plague me, but it's kind of like one of those, yeah, that would be a nice addition. Just because you're always, as a collector, any kind of collector, there's always that one rare piece. There's always that one, the crown of the collection that you want to add, that you always want to, you know, immediately show something. Yeah, I've got all of these, but this is my crowning achievement. This is my joy. This is the limited, you know, edition. So, that said, one of the rarest Star Wars action figures is now selling on eBay. And it's, See, and this is where it gets kind of dodgy, because there's so many different stories, and there's really a legend that surrounds this character. So way back in the day, let's go back in the Wayback Machine to 1979, and Kenner does a mail-in rebate, cut off a coupon, send it in for the rocket firing Boba Fett. Now you're like, oh yeah, this was a big deal. And for those that are unaware of the Star Wars lore to this, there was a problem. So back in the day, Battlestar Galactica, the Viper and the Cylon Raider had ships that fired little mini rockets. Kid chokes on one. Parents are outraged. It's the end of the world as we know it. And the toy designers decide at that point to make the missiles just only extend. You can push it in, push the button, and it comes out. So that was the big, big hang-up. So now we're at 1979. Kenner's taking orders galore for a figure that nobody has even seen, who makes an appearance in the horrible Christmas special. We hadn't even seen him yet, but he looked cool, and he had a firing rocket. I was one of the kids that sent in his proof of purchases to try and snag this figure. Why not? It's Star Wars. I had nothing better to do, and I have all of these cards from saving them, because that's what you do. The thing is, Kenner never released this figure. If you did get your Boba Fett in the mail, the rocket came firmly attached. It wasn't coming out. It wasn't going anywhere. I remember as a kid trying to find the button to get it to shoot, and everyone was a little annoyed with the whole premise. Now, supposedly, fast forward to today. Kenner said they destroyed all of these Boba Fetts, that none made it out. Now, over the years, they're saying, well, okay, maybe some have made it out. And the uniqueness of this character, and I've never seen one in the wild. I've seen knockoffs. I've seen imitations and re-releases years later of said prototype. But they're saying that there's somewhere in the hundreds, or like right under hundreds, that exist. I can only think of like five times that I have actually seen this story or seen something in relation to the Boba Fett Kenner prototype. But if you're looking to add this to your collection, it is on eBay right now for $250,000. Yes, that is right. $225,000 for a figure. See, this is why I collect toys. This is why I collect comics. You never know when that one weird, odd little piece is going to just skyrocket through the roof. It is probably one of the most sought-after collectibles for Star Wars. And I know the Obi-Wan museum guy, he's probably, I think he's got one. So at least I know that there are other collectors out there that have seen it and it exists. Now, this one, just to go forward a little bit further, has been certified. There's pictures of it. There's a certificate of authenticity. It's actually traded hands a couple of times. The figure is currently in Dubai, of course, because that's where all collectibles go. But now the person that won it from the last auction a few years ago has now decided to put it back up again. So it's being brokered by the same group. So everything has been certified. Everything has been confirmed that this is it. Now, because even just reading the certificate and looking at it, it looks like Boba Fett, but no paint, no anything like that. And the one that sold last year went for a whopping $185,850. So that was the current record for said figure. And listening to other people, some are thinking that there's maybe only a few dozen of these, so like in the 20s, that exist. So the numbers kind of vary depending upon who you're talking to. And I know with everybody with Hooked on the Mandalorian and all of that, there is one that was sold before that one just a few months earlier that went for $112,926. So it is definitely jumping in price. And like I said, I think Mandalorian is definitely driving this puppy, and everyone is just going bounty hunter crazy. And that's good for business. But like I said, I can only count a five that I'm aware of that have kind of gone through the collector round. And I don't think there's dozens. I really think it is under 10 at best. So if you've got an extra $250,000 laying around, you can own a piece of history. Obviously, it's going to go up in price, but I would hate to be the one guy that buys this and then ends up seeing the price go backwards. That it is, that would suck. But yeah, certificate of authenticity. Everything has been confirmed, and letter of authenticity. Sorry, had to get that out of my mouth. That this is it, and Kenner confirms that this is their prototype. So it is dated from 2003, as far as the COA. So cool! I'm absolutely blown away. I know I don't have one, and that hurts me. Hurts me to my core. Also in toy news, Marvel Legends. Deadpool is got a new toy coming out, and it is creepy as fuck. It is a talking head. Literally, it is a talking head. They're taking pre-orders for this, and if you want to add the head of Deadpool to your collection, then this is for you. It really kind of looks like that one small little animated Spider-Man that they had come out a couple of years ago that you could program. Its eyes lit up, and it did a bunch of cool different things. So supposedly, in the same vein as that, Deadpool, with his interactive head, sits there, and you can have long conversations with it. They're boasting that it's got 600 different sound effects, phrases, and is up to entertain you at all times of the day. Evening, morning, be greeted, have them talk to you while you're making toast. I don't know. I'm curious because I almost want to get this just to see if I can hack it and basically make it Siri. That would, I think, would actually be more entertaining to have Deadpool run your house than Siri. So if they could actually figure that out, I would probably jump at this. It's a bit steep at a price of $100. And this is just the pre-order right now. It does become available to the market September 1st. So if you don't want to go do it right away, I know that Hasbro Plus has it available on there, and Amazon's also sporting the pre-order. So you can get it that way. But it really looks like Deadpool's head. So I'm curious what the phrases are. He requires batteries, of course. And if you've got the one guy that's an absolute Deadpool fan and nut, then this is absolutely the gift, the perfect Christmas gift. I don't know, of course, if they're a Deadpool nut, you may not be able to get them to wait till Christmas, deter them, because I have a feeling this is going to be a very high-demanded toy, may fly off the shelf. So there you have it. Very, very weird. Talking. Who thinks of this? I mean, you're sitting there and creating toys, and you're like, you know what we need? We need a Deadpool head that talks to you. I want to know if it has Ryan Reynolds' voice. It doesn't say who's voiced it, but I really hope and pray to God it's got Ryan Reynolds' voice, because that would even be better. If it's got Ryan Reynolds' voice doing all of the phrases and everything, because he's absolutely hilarious in Don't, and that show just continues to tickle my funny bone. Just listen to him talk, and Adam Scott is even more funny than I thought he was going to be from Parks and Rec. So if Ryan Reynolds voiced this, that will push me over the edge. That will make me want to buy Deadpool's head. God, that sounded dirty. In video game news, Xbox Series S to be announced in August. So with everything going on in the video game world, we're about to see another head-to-head battle. And it's been a while since we've had this friction, this duke out, and it's going to be a head-to-head as PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X are about to launch basically at the same time. And the last time that this happened, it went back and forth, and the only determining factor really that I can remember and that I saw was dates of availability. When was this available? When was this coming out? And it created a bit of a friction. It wasn't until later that, sure, they're all in stock and everyone could take their time to pick. But it's that initial release, that initial go that defines and I think sets the stage for who's going to dominate. Now, if they can get both of these to go at the same time, then we might really see an actual slugfest. They're saying that both sides are saying that these will be available for the Christmas series. Now, the Xbox Series S is going to be the much toned down version of the X. So a weaker, more passive. And then, you know what, I've always wondered, why would you do this? Why would you make it less powerful? Why would you sabotage your own game system just to get under a price point? Just be smarter. Take the hit. Get people excited about your product that, you know, they want to buy it. Come on. There hasn't been an official release date for the Series X and all that, but they're just saying, like I said, by the time for Christmas. And they're saying that sometime this month that we are going to get more of a official unveiling of what Xbox has in store. Of course, COVID, the leading reason for why we have no information on this and why Xbox is so far behind the curve in delivering this. And everyone kind of knows where I'm sitting in this, that I may or may not get in this fight. Because my brother and I have been wrestling back and forth between console and going just like full on PC, because Dead by Daylight has got us hooked. In addition to most of the games that we would buy for the Xbox are available and better on the PC side. Money that you're going to spend, if it's completely over the top, better spent towards a PC, gaming PC. So there are some pluses and there are some minuses. Of course, I spend enough time in front of a computer, I really want to be able to stretch out, enjoy in front of the big screen and the surround system, the subwoofer, which, you know, shakes the walls, and thank God I don't have any neighbors because they would be pissed. This, I'm curious to see what the final dimensions and the power behind it. The design itself that Xbox has released, the pictures are interesting. I mean, it looks basically like a square Surrey. And there's a small little slit for the disc to go in and all of that. But this could be, I mean, this will probably be, this will probably be the last console we see. I think everyone will be going to the online, to Steam, to streaming video games, and this may be the last. I mean, that may be even the deciding factor between the S version and the X version. Will it be able to take a disc? And we'll see things slowly phase towards the digital aspect. I know that will impact a lot of people, especially the gaming nuts out there when it comes to collectibles, exclusives, some of the fun stuff that comes with video games, the props. I mean, that's, Gears of War has been a huge hit for me with the props and the exclusives. Same thing with Batman, Arkham Knight. They had some great stuff. Of course, the city was a bit of a disappointment because I honestly thought we were getting the Batmobile. Fuckers. But, you know, instead I get a light up city, which, fine, whatever. The Batarang was way better. So it's interesting. I'm watching this closely just because I want to weigh the cost. And that's what it's really going to come down to for myself, for my brother, and probably a lot of gamers out there. What's the comparative cost between going PC, doing it your way, more power, versus a system that, you know, it's outlived the, you know, like Xbox One. The whole reason behind that is it would run your entire system. You can talk to it. It would constantly listening, which people didn't like. And there was a lot of downside, but my Xbox One, I really do enjoy and have enjoyed for years. In fact, my 360, which is the Gears Edition one, sits on top of it. So will I have one more console to just kind of add to the side of it? It looks like Tetris. Could be. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Let me know. I would love to hear your input, because I'm sure you've got a perspective that I probably haven't really thought of. Yeah, for sure. All right, and with that brings us to the final portion of this week's podcast. This is very happy for me. This is actually a very touching story for myself, just because of the history with this, and I'm really excited to talk about this with you, because dun dun dun, the restaurants that helped me survive the COVID, my take on restaurants that not only helped me survive but thrive during limited options and times I did not want to cook. Last week I did the take on the spicy chicken sandwiches, and that was a huge hit. So thanks for the response and the input after posting that. Always open to your guys' comments, and anytime, even if there's somewhere you want me to go and give it a try, I will. So send me suggestions, send me ideas, send me places that you're like, whatever's tickling you, whatever you're enjoying, whatever your taste buds are excited to delect in. Let me know. I'll absolutely go check it out. But during the COVID, not everything, like I said, was lobster thermidor. I didn't always eat out, but wanted to eat sensible and yet still help and support local shops. So with that in mind, and this kind of takes into consideration my sandwich quest. And you really don't realize the importance of sandwiches until that's they're gone. And the delis are closed. They're not getting any ingredients because nothing is being shipped. So that was like a huge kick in the teeth, because I never really realized how much I enjoy a very tasty sandwich. I know when I went to New York recently, Cat's Deli was a must. That was like an absolute, we must go here. And I didn't even think about it. It was a decision that was made, and I was very happy it was made because I didn't think of it myself, which was really stupid on my part because I'm the one that likes going to New York. Cat's Deli is so good. But anyway, this isn't about cats. But if you go, the pastrami. The local one here. So originally, Red and I would actually visit this place frequently, and rightfully so. There's multiple locations across town, and it's called Chop Shop, and they define themselves as a refined, casual American cuisine. They are very. Actually, they're very casual. They put themselves into the urban eatery category, and it's one of Denver's premier chef-driven fast food, quick service, casual restaurants. They do serve adult beverages, and it is kind of styled around a casual, lazy kind of summer afternoon where you just kind of take things in, you relax, you enjoy the food, you enjoy the people. They do focus mainly on bright, fresh ingredients. They do maintain high standards and innovative techniques to delivering that food, to how they're cooking it, how they're preparing it. So they do kind of do a seasonal menu, but there were some staples that constantly stood out to us. The three locations that Chop Shop has, Lowry, which is the one that I frequent, Colfax, which is not far from actually Voodoo Donuts, it's just down the street, and Sobo, which I've never visited. That's one of their newer locations that I haven't been to. The Lowry location that I frequent is located off of 200 Quebec Street. So it's right there. You can't miss it. It's on the corner. Easy parking. Nice, nice patio. I almost said porch. Nice patio. Nice umbrellas. It is fun. It's really, really nice. So back in the day, before the world went south on us, Red and I would go and have what we thought was the absolute perfect French dip. And I've tried other French dips. Indy actually even got me another one that I won't bring up just because I'm talking about Chop Shop, but it is one that I will visit. The thing is on this, and it was strange because for the longest time they had, when we thought, a hit. Then all of a sudden, they changed it. And when a restaurant does this, you're like, why? Why would you change the French dip, which was already absolutely perfect, in my opinion? It was generous portion. The flavor was great. The au jus was excellent. But then all of a sudden, they decide to just, nah, we're going to change it. We're going to make it a chicken French dip, and it was better in their mind. And this was the end. Red and I were so furious. We did try the sandwich, to be fair, and it failed to meet expectations. It was disappointing, especially when you're comparing it and frequently had their normal French dip. So move forward to today. Thank God, and I appreciate when restaurants realize they have made a mistake, when they can suddenly go and look and go, you know what? That was dumb. And they hopefully saw a drop-off in sales because the French dip didn't meet expectations. It was sad. So now they have the French dip 2.0, which they are taking a smoked roasted ribeye on a hoagie roll, and it with this aioli that works so well, that intermingles with whatever they're using for seasoning to cook the ribeye. This is mind-blowing. the flavors, the taste. You don't even need the au jus sauce. You really don't. The juiciness and the flavor is there. And that's usually, you know, the one thing that I've noticed when you're dealing with French dip is that the meat is dry and you need the au jus to help, you know, bring out some of the flavors, also make that meat a little less dry and to help, you know, with the hoagie roll and all that. You honestly do not need the au jus sauce. You could just keep it off to the side, drink it as cocktail juice, I don't know, but it is not necessary to devour this sandwich. It's an absolute hit. And to see that they've came to their senses and brought it back speaks volumes to me. I mean, I think it's a deal at $15 for a high quality French dip. This is by far one of the best ones in town. And I can't promote it enough. They do have other items on the menu. Of course, they do have like a crispy chicken sandwich, which is new to their menu that they just introduced, and I haven't tried it yet to really know, but their seasonal options constantly change. Their salads are on par with a lot of the higher level eateries around town, and I really do thoroughly enjoy the atmosphere and everything else. Unfortunately, right now, they are not taking dine-in. They are doing DoorDash and delivery service and pickup. But as far as like the relaxed atmosphere that they have built and created is not available. And I'm sure as the rules and everything become better and COVID starts to recess and be handled, we will be able to revisit this location to hang out because it is fun. It's a cool little joint. And the other ones that I visited, the Colfax one is just as fun, but I really, really have a soft spot for the Lowry one. So if you're in the mood for a sandwich and you want a French dip and you want to try it, give them a call, give them an order. They are easy enough to get to if you're in the center of town. Their phone number, 303-364-1102. And yeah, you can even order online. So check them out, Chop Shop, Casual Urban Eatery. They help survive. They helped me survive the COVID. And quite deliciously at that. Thank you for bringing back my French dip. And that about covers it. The week has been wild. We have the 4th of July weekend that is coming up. So I may or may not be in town. I don't honestly know what's going on for the week. So I may or may not be on next week. But I will be sure to let you know, or maybe we'll even play a rerun. Do you rerun podcasts? Is this like network TV? It's a good question. I mean, I know I've reposted some interviews in the past, especially the one with Rob Paulson, who is the voice of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, who we haven't even seen if he's going to do the movie. I would hope Rob would. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. So, I don't know. We'll see. And maybe next week will just be a shortened version of the podcast. Go visit Suzy Q's, our sponsor. Check out the Dragon Scale bracelet. Worth the trip. Worth a purchase. And if you want something unique, if you want to give a unique gift, especially with everything going on, if you just want to brighten someone's day, this would definitely do it. And you do get the 20% discount, which is huge. So go visit Suzy's and let us know. If you've got ideas, give us a like, give us a share, give us a comment. Always open for your guys' input, because in the end, we're doing this for you. We're supporting your entertainment value. And hopefully, it brings a smile to your day. But in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.